Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, September 14th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington, D.C. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. A trust fund in honor of missing activist Itai Dzamara will be launched in Harare to help support his family and others in the same situation.
Itai Dzamara has a wife. Itai Dzamara has two children that are still going to school and they need support. Generally also to just continually do the campaigns to make sure that human rights are observed.
The government is criticized for establishing an interagency platform, among other things, to attract foreign direct investment. Critics, Harare, should focus on dealing with corruption first.
The main problem that we have in this country is the problem of rampant and unmitigated corruption. That is the alpha and omega of most, if not of all, the problems that business people encounter when they come into Zimbabwe to invest.
And Zimbabwe's Kirsty Coventry is winding down her illustrious swimming career after winning 3 gold medals and a bronze in what is being termed a triple three pit at the just-ended All-Africa Games in Congo, Brazzaville.
It's a great achievement. I'm very excited about it. It's been an honor to represent Zimbabwe at the All-Africa Games. And I was just very thankful that I was able to go there and do as well as I did. So I was very excited about the outcome.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned. A committee working with abducted activist Itai Dzamara's family says it will launch the Itai Dzamara Trust tomorrow in Harare to help support his family and others in the same situation. Dzamara has been missing for 6 months now, ever since he was abducted from his home area of Glenview on March 9 this year. Chairman of the Working Committee, Bishop Anselmo Magaya, says fundraising efforts have already begun.
We have been working on this for quite a while. What we are actually going to do tomorrow is to actually launch this trust as a way of actually honoring and recognizing the work that Itai Dzamara was actually doing, fighting for human rights. So we've invited various people, the embassies, civil society organizations, and individuals from different quarters of life.
What are the aims and objectives of this trust?
The aims and objectives of this trust include caring for the people who would have been left by those that would have actually been abducted, to make sure that if those that have been abducted would have been breadwinners, we want to make sure that these people will actually be assisted in terms of their livelihood. But immediately, we are very aware that Itai Dzamara has a wife. Itai Dzamara has two children that are still going to school and they need support. Generally, also to just continually do the campaigns to make sure that human rights are observed. And we need money for that to happen. And this is one of the reasons why we would want to launch this.
So in a way, you are saying it's not only confined to the Dzamara family.
Precisely the point, because you see, Itai did not just speak for himself. Itai spoke for so many people, and I'm sure that in his heart of hearts, he's very keen to make sure that those things for which he has been persecuted are actually upheld.
That was Bishop Anselmo Magaya, chairman of the Itai Dzamara Trust Working Committee in Harare, speaking with the Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. Zimbabwe's Kirsty Coventry is winding down her illustrious swimming career after winning 3 gold medals and a bronze in what is being termed a triple three pit at the just-ended All-Africa Games in Congo, Brazzaville. The Olympic gold medalist says she's hanging up her swimsuit after the Olympics Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil in 2016. The 31-year-old Coventry, whose accomplishments have earned much respect and love in Zimbabwe, as well as a lifetime diplomatic passport from President Robert Mugabe's government, has stated in the past that she now wants to focus on raising her family. In an interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, the Golden Girl, as Coventry is affectionately known in Zimbabwe, said she's excited about her recent wins at the All Africa Games.
It's been an honor to represent Zimbabwe at the All Africa Games, and I was just very thankful that I was able to go there and do as well as I did.
Tell us, how do you prepare for such events?
We had prepared a month ago for the World Championship, and I had spent some good time. So I knew coming into this that I'd be a little bit weaker because it's a little bit harder to stay so focused strength-wise for 3 weeks later. But we just did a good job of training and getting back into the pool as soon as we could. And, I think I was also just really excited. This is my last All Africa Games, so it gave me the opportunity to not leave any energy outside of the pool. Everything was put into that every race.
So you cannot be convinced to try and go?
I don't think so. I think, I've said all along that Rio Olympics will be my last big international competition. And it was very sad. It did take me a little bit by surprise how emotional I got saying goodbye to the team, being on the podium for the last time in Africa. It's always been such a big part of my career.
Let's turn to Rio 2016 at the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece. You won 3 Olympic medals. And in 2008 at the Summer Olympic Games in Beijing, you won 4 medals. Are we going to see another repeat this time in Rio?
That's always the goal. The goal is to always, try to get onto the podium. Unfortunately, in London 2012, I dislocated my knee 4 months before and then got pneumonia 2 months before. I still managed to come sixth, but it was just short of my goal. So I felt that I wanted to give it one more chance. It is going to be challenging. There are a lot of very good swimmers swimming at the moment, especially in my event. So I'm looking forward to the challenge in the year ahead.
You have also been working with schools in Zimbabwe to promote swimming. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I've set up a Kirsty Coventry Academy, and right now we're working with a school, Mother's Touch, and we've coached some teachers to become swimming coaches, and there's about 450 children going through the program, which we're very excited about.
Are we likely to see another Kirsty very soon?
I hope so. There are a lot of young swimmers coming up. The talent is there, and now we just need the support and the funding to make sure that we continue to support our athletes.
Lastly, I know you insist that you don't only represent Zimbabwe, but Africa. What is your message to your fans?
Just thank you so much. I've really been so lucky to have so many amazing fans, not just in Africa, but around the world, and Zimbabweans that are everywhere. Through sport, I've managed to keep us all linked together. And I think that's something that's really amazing that sport does. Thank you so much for your support over the years.
And that was the Golden Girl Olympic gold medalist swimmer Kirsty Coventry speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu here in Washington, D.C. For the full interview, please go to our website www.voanewszimbabwe.com. A candidate for the Mbire parliamentary by-election, Kudzanai Gondo, says he hopes to win the local poll Saturday at a time when critics say opposition parties in Zimbabwe are too fragmented to win any election. Gondo, whose party is struggling to fund his election campaign, is among two other Transform Zimbabwe candidates, Solomon Makaza and Tsikirai Muchena, who will be vying for the Marondera and Epworth parliamentary seats respectively. They face a strong challenge from President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with Gondo, who says the electoral field remains uneven in the country.
The campaign is very good. We do not cover all the constituents, but now we are looking for resources from the office, then we move on, but the campaign is in good.
So how many areas have you covered so far, you know, in terms of addressing people or holding rallies?
18 wards.
And what is the response? Tell us in detail.
The response is very good, but we have faced some challenges from ZANU-PF members. They're tearing our posters and shouting to the campaigning team. They tell us we do not want an opposition party to operate here because we are all born for the spirit of ZANU-PF's voters. So we don't want any opposition party opposing ZANU-PF. They said many people died for this country.
What's the meaning of that?
During the liberation war, our elders died for this country.
And what are your chances of winning that constituency, Mr. Kondo?
We have the chance to win because many people were tired of what is promised by ZANU-PF, which is not successful.
What are you promising the constituents?
We are telling them about the self-sustainable project.
That was Kudzanai Gondo of Transform Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7 Skips Dube from Mbire, Mashonaland Central Province. The Epworth seat fell vacant following the death of Amos Midzi, and the two other seats were left vacant when ZANU-PF recalled Ray Kaukonde and David Batatu from Parliament. Meanwhile, former ZANU-PF member and expelled Hurungwe West lawmaker Temba Mlisa has slammed a proposed coalition between the Tsvangirai MDC and former Vice President Joyce Mujuru, saying if it comes to fruition, the founding MDC president should be the leader, not Mrs. Mujuru. For perspective, Studio 7 Skips Dube reached political analyst Professor Shadrack Guto of the University of South Africa. First, he speaks about the state of opposition parties in Zimbabwe.
The opposition, you don't see really very clear ideological position that they have that differ from the rhetoric of the ruling party ZANU-PF leaning to the left when it has gone right of political ideologies. And I think that that is part of the problem, that no political party really has come up with something that is seen to be a real alternative which can then be able to challenge ZANU-PF and to unmask socialistic rhetoric. The other is really to say the opposition within, and that is ZANU-PF, has now reached a stage where it is almost imploding. And from there, we don't know what will arise and how there will be reconfiguration of political parties in the country.
Now there's a scenario where the former Vice President Joyce Mujuru was expelled from ZANU-PF is also preparing maybe to launch a party. But there are some people who are saying she can form a coalition with Mr. Moken Tsvangirai. But they're saying that the problem is who is going to be the leader of that kind of coalition if that happens. What is your take on that?
Where we are at the moment, I believe that one can be a leader and the other a deputy.
And that was Professor Shadrack Guto, a political analyst at the University of South Africa, speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Higher Education Ministry says institutions of higher learning should enroll more students with disabilities.
And I'm glad that this college has introduced an affirmative action policy in the recruitment of students with disabilities.
But first, a look at regional and international news. A defiant U.S. courthouse clerk who was jailed for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses returned to work today, saying she would not block her deputies from issuing them, but questioned the document's validity without her authorization. Billionaire Donald Trump continues to gain support in his quest to be the Republican candidate in next year's U.S. presidential election. And European Union interior ministers are meeting today to discuss ways to spread responsibility for the seemingly endless flow of refugees into Europe. Higher Education Deputy Minister Godfrey Gandawa says institutions of higher learning should enroll more students with disabilities as the government pushes to promote inclusive education in the country and remove all forms of discrimination from the education sector. Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Gandawa, speaking at a recent graduation at Mashingo Teachers College, said special needs education is pertinent in the country's curriculum, adding colleges and tertiary institutions must embrace the policy. Gandawa said colleges must therefore enroll more students with disabilities.
The government has always advanced the policy of inclusivity in education, and I'm glad that this college has introduced an affirmative action policy in the recruitment of students with disabilities. I want you to increase the enrollment from the current 23 enrolled, but I want to commend you for the great work that you have achieved.
Gandawa commended colleges like Mashingo Teachers and the United College of Education in Bulawayo, which now have an affirmative enrollment policy for students with disabilities. Makanaka Gumbo, a Harare resident, applauded the government for pushing colleges and universities to enroll more students living with disabilities.
The affirmative action that the government has been offering to, say, females, it hasn't been cascading to us as people with disabilities. So I think it's really a milestone for us, but it's also an indicator that we should not just get things on a silver platter, but that we should also work hard as people with disabilities and prove our worth and show the government and the world that, yes, we can.
A journalist with disabilities and works with people with disabilities, Patrick Musira, said the idea was noble, but said colleges and institutions of higher learning should also ensure the institutions have facilities that are friendly to people with disabilities. Director for the Center for Disability and Development, Masimba Kuchera, said the move by the Education Ministry, by the Higher Education Ministry, is good, but adds it must be enunciated well as a government policy so that it becomes mandatory for all colleges and tertiary institutions to give a quota to students with disabilities. But he said appropriate infrastructure will be key if all colleges were to enroll students with all forms of disabilities.
There's a certain reluctance by colleges considering how much they may have to redesign their buildings or redesign the way they do things. For instance, if you take in persons with a physical handicap, you need to maybe redesign the building in a way that steps are converted into ramps, and also probably even redesign the toilets so that people will be able to access, which is something that colleges sometimes hide behind the finger of not having the money to do so.
National Association of Societies for the Care of the Handicapped, NASCO, disability expert Fambaini Nimagweva concurred with Kuchera, adding enrolling students with disabilities in the absence of the necessary support would be more disabling than the disability itself. Zimbabwe has more than 2 million people living with disabilities. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The government has come under criticism after announcing it has established an interagency platform coordinated by the Office of the President to handle investors' business inquiries. Economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe and MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu say the government is unsure of what it needs to do to attract FDI. The Herald reported today that the government is coming up with measures to attract foreign direct investment in the country, including amending the Companies Act, among other things. But Chitambara tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that by creating the interagency platform, the government is duplicating the role being already played by the Zimbabwe Investment Authority.
When you look at the proposed amendments, I think they are also creating another layer into the investment approval process. It's not clear whether the Zimbabwe Investment Authority will continue to be the main center or the main coordinator in terms of investment approvals, or the Zimbabwe Investment Authority will now be a department that will report to the office of the president. So that could actually even create another layer of bureaucracy that may even bog down or even slow down the investment approval process. So I think there's need for clarity in terms of those regulatory reforms. Then again, obviously, you also need to look at the political environment. You also need to look at the economic environment. You need to look at investments in the key enablers, things to do with energy, for example, things to do with availability of water, things to do with transport logistics.
Do you think that amending the Companies Act will bring in the much-needed foreign investment?
I think it should be part of a cocktail of measures. Amending the Companies Act on its own will not have a significant impact in terms of attracting investment inflows into the country.
There's also the issue of corruption. How best can this be addressed?
I think it obviously requires will and commitment probably from the highest office and also action.
That was Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Jonga also spoke earlier with Obed Gutu, who is the MDCT spokesman, who said the government must first deal with the issue of corruption before it talks of attracting investors.
That is just a laughable excuse. Because when you look at it, the main problem that we have in this country is the problem of rampant and unmitigated corruption. That is the alpha and omega of most, if not of all, the problems that business people encounter when they come into Zimbabwe to invest. Where in the country you have investors coming, the first port of call is instead of going to business organizations and labor organizations like the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, and the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce and the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industry and even the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. The first port of call is they are directed to go and see the president either at the Monomtapa building or at State House. That alone gives you an impression that we are dealing with a fully fledged dictatorship where everything revolves around Mugabe's office. In fact, it should not be the business of government to be in business. All government has to do is to provide and ensure that an enabling environment is put in place that will be conducive to both foreign and domestic investors to come in and stimulate economic growth. So for as long as we don't deal with these issues, what I would prefer to call structural deformities, we can have as many investors coming into Zimbabwe to make inquiries as one can think of, but nothing will kick off.
That was MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu on the line from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Chiedza Brown, the 15-year-old daughter of the late musician, died yesterday Saturday in circumstances that are yet unclear in Texas, here in the United States. A Facebook statement from her sister Chengeto said, quote, "We are heartbroken to share the news that Chiedza Brown has passed away tragically. Chiedza was a loving daughter, sister, cousin, and friend. She was a remarkable girl who touched the lives of everyone she met." Details are still emerging about Chiedza's death, and the family has asked for privacy as they come to terms with their said loss. Chiedza, according to the statement was an accomplished singer, painter, actress, and had a true love and gift for playing the mbira that she learned from her mother. She was known to all her bright energy and was always laughing. She wanted to pursue her love for art and music. Chengeto wrote, quote, "For those who may ask what they can do to honor Chiedza, the family asks that you please send donations to help with her services in Texas and her burial with her family in Zimbabwe. Donations can be emailed via PayPal to the Chiedza Brown Memorial Fund. Service details will be announced in the next few days." And in sports news, Zimbabwe President Robert Mugabe saw in 4 new ministers and 10 deputies Friday at State House in Harare from his latest cabinet reshuffle.
The defending champions are now 7 points behind leaders Chicken Inn and 2 points behind second-placed FC Platinum, with only 8 matches remaining. This follows Dimbara's 3-1 defeat at the hands of Kugona Kunenge Kudada over the weekend. After 22 games, Dynamo still have 39 points, while Chicken Inn are on 46 points. FC Platinum have 41 points following that famous victory over Dynamos. There are 8 games still to be played, but Dynamo supporter Fano Mreriwa still thinks the Glamour Boys will win their 5th consecutive league championship.
"We are going to win, Dimbare fans. All Dimbare fans say we are going to win."
However, Prosper Magogo is of the opinion that Dynamos have lost the battle, adding that he thinks either Chicken Inn or FC Platinum will take the title. Chicken Inn, on the other hand, maintain their top of the table position with a hard 4-1 win over visiting ZPC Kariba. Chicken Inn and FC Platinum are on course of following the footsteps of Monomtapa in 2008, Gunners in 2009, and Motor Action in 2010, is one of the modest clubs to win the Premiership title. Ironically, Chicken Inn coach Joey Antipas won the league title with Motor Action in 2010, and FC Platinum mentor Nomen Mapeza took the title with Monomtapa in 2009. The other weekend results were as follows: Harare City 1, Highlanders 0, Flame Lily 2, Wange 2, Wawa 0, Triangle 0, Dongo 0, Chapungu 0, Cholocho Pirates 2, Haumain 1, Capes United 0, Buffaloes 0. Capes United's new coach Lloyd Tembe was satisfied with his team's performance in his first game in charge. However, Buffaloes assistant coach Joseph Takaringofa, himself a former Capes United player, believes his team was robbed of victory after the referee disallowed their goal for offside.
"We could have won that game. I didn't see the offside, but that's football. That's how they saw it. On a fair level, we could have won the game."
After 22 games, the top 4 teams are Chicken Inn, 46 points, FC Platinum, 41 points, Dynamos, 39 points, Triangle, 37 points. The bottom 4 are Cholocho, 21 points, Flame Lily, 19 points, Wawa, 19 points, Dongo, 18 points. Now to the ongoing Africa Games. Zimbabwe's Young Warriors ended their campaign on a winning note after a 1-0 victory over hosts Congo in their last game of the campaign. The Young Warriors had lost by identical 1-0 scorelines to Burkina Faso and Sudan in the past week. Zimbabwe has so far managed to accumulate 4 medals, 3 golds and a bronze, all won by swimmer Kirsty Coventry. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. Of course, sorry for that mix-up with the introduction. But remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will lead discussions about the state of Zimbabwean opposition. That's all we had for you tonight. My name is Chris Gande, and right now I'm handing you over to the very capable hands of Praxedis Jeremiah, PJ for the Ndebele News. It's all yours, PJ.